Your loving kindness, which as we grow older, we find to be better than life. Be exalted. Reveal yourself to us. Make yourself known. And cause within us a heart of worship, I pray, for all the good things you have done for us. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, this morning we are looking at special revelation. Special revelation from one standpoint, special revelation is an act of God. And from another standpoint, it's a gift from God. This is me receiving special revelation. Special revelation is an experience and also a possession. As an act of God, special revelation is the revealing of God. It's the revealing of himself. God reveals himself so that I might know him as my God and Savior. It's an act, a divine act. It's a gift. It's his gift to me, so I can come to know the God of creation. It's a gift of grace. And no one knows God apart from special revelation. We can never know, we can never come to know God apart from special revelation. But let me just ask this question. Why can't we see God? Why can't we see God? What's that? He's invisible. He's spirit. And in order to know him, who's invisible, he must reveal himself. Now turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1. How is he going to make himself known? This God who is invisible. Look at John chapter 1. So we see in verse 1, we know in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we see this divine being known as the Word. And what happens in verse 14 of John 1? He becomes flesh. He joins the human family. He dwells among us. This invisible God is now seen. The Word was God. The Word is God. The Word was with God. The Word became flesh. Why does Jesus come in verse 18? This one, this Word. Why does he come? Why does he join the human family?
To explain.
To make God known. To explain him. To make him known. No one has ever seen God, verse 18. No one has ever seen God. But the Son of God, the Word of God, has come, becomes flesh, in order to make God known. This is the invisible God making himself visible. He must reveal himself if we're to know him. And he does by his Word. The Word became flesh. Jesus came to make God known. He's come to reveal God. Now turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Notice what it says about God. What three things does it say about God in 1 Timothy 6, 16? He's immortal. What's that?
Unapproachable.
He dwells in unapproachable light. What else? Whom no one what?
Seen.
Who's seen or can he could no one has ever seen or can see. He dwells in unapproachable light, and no one has ever seen or can see him. If he does not reveal himself, we would never know him. We might know about him. We might look at creation and say there is a God. But if he does not reveal himself to us, this invisible God, this spirit, if he doesn't reveal himself to us, we would never know him. Look over at Colossians 2, verse 3. See, what does this say about Jesus? What's hidden in Jesus? In Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and might I add, of God. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge of God. Jesus has come, this one, the Word, has come to reveal God. Christianity rests on the unveiling of the hidden Creator. It's a revealed religion. Christianity reveals the hidden Creator. Now, the word reveal means to unveil something, something that's hidden. God is hidden. He's invisible. He reveals, Jesus comes to reveal him, to unveil him. It also means to bring into view something that was out of sight. God is out of sight. But Jesus has come to bring him into view. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He has come to reveal God, to bring him into view. This is special revelation. This is what we're talking about with special revelation. Now, let me ask you this. Do we actually need Jesus to reveal God to us? Can't we, by searching, find out God for ourselves? I mean, doesn't the Bible say, seek and you shall find? Can we, by our own effort, seek out God? Can the Hindu seek out God? I mean, do we really need Jesus to reveal God to us? And why would you say yes? Say again? You are in the way?
I am the way.
Oh, but you're also in the way. Yeah, the Bible says, no one seeks after him. But he's invisible. How are you going to find him? He dwells in unapproachable light. I mean, you can't discover him on your own. He must reveal himself to you. I dwell in unapproachable light, says the Lord God. No one has ever seen me or can see me. He's the unknown God who can only be known if he reveals himself to you. You can't seek him. He's got to seek you. We can only know God through special revelation, through the Word of God. He must reveal himself. Now, it's true we can know something about God by looking at creation, which we labored in last week. We can know that there's a God who's worthy of worship, and this is shining before all men. All men could read this. It's the universal language of mankind that there is a God. The heavens declare the glory of God. Now, you might know there is a God who's worthy of worship, and billions and billions and billions of people know this. Maybe there's 8 billion people on the planet. I would venture to say at least 7 billion people could look up at the stars and say there is a God who's worthy of worship. But they don't know him. They don't know this God of creation. He hasn't revealed himself to them. They know there's a God, but they do not know this God. In order to know the one who is majestic, eternal, all-powerful, worthy of worship, glorious, full of splendor, in order to know him, he must reveal himself. Otherwise, he'll always be the unknown God. A God who is there, but unknown to us. And so we need special revelation. Special revelation, by special revelation, I mean that God manifests himself to individuals, enabling us to enter into a relationship with God as Father. He must manifest himself to each individual, to each of us, in order for us to enter into a relationship with him. That's special revelation. Revelation expresses the idea of uncovering something that was concealed. God is concealed, he's hidden, but by special revelation, he is revealed. Now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. First of all, why do we need special revelation? And we mentioned this just a few minutes ago. Why do we need special revelation? Talked about this when we answered the question, why can't we seek God on our own?
We're in the dark.
Ah. We're blinded. There's darkness in our soul. There's no light. Can't see. God can't be seen because we can't see. What are we? Dead. We're dead. We're dead. Dead to God. Dead. What about our hearts? There's darkness, and tell me about it. Is it a heart of flesh? No, it's a heart of what? Stone. We're stone cold dead. We can't even hear. That's how dead we are. We're dead. Notice 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Talking about special revelation. We need special revelation if we're to know God. Notice 2 Corinthians 4, 4. In their case, we're talking about unbelievers. The God of this world has blinded their minds. Right? Darkness is at home in their souls. The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing what?
Glory.
The glory of Christ. Found where? In the light of the what? Gospel. The light of the gospel. Keep us from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. We can't see that. We can't hear that. The gospel is good news. We can't even hear that. If we heard the good news, we'd be able to see something. Because the light of the gospel is the glory of Christ. But we can't see it. Because darkness is in our souls. We can't see the light. Our souls is in they're in darkness. Now, what does God do in verse 6? We're talking about special revelation. What does God do in verse 6?
Turns the light on.
Turns the light on. He shines the light in our hearts. He shines the light of the glory of Christ in our heart, the glory of God in our heart. And I like that how it starts out. For God who said, let there be light, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our darkness the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You're talking about special revelation. If God doesn't speak to us, if God doesn't reveal himself to us, we would never know him. The same God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shown in our hearts by his word, by the gospel, by his word. He shines in our hearts the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I mean, 1 minute, 1 second, I don't know God. I'm in darkness. I can't see the light of the gospel. I can't see the glory of Christ. I do not know God at all. And then the next minute, God says something, and the light is turned on in the darkness. And what I see is the face of Jesus Christ, and I come to know God. That's special revelation. That's special revelation. We're dead. We were dead, but now we're alive. What happened? God said something, spoke, and we saw him. We knew him. We now know him. Well, how do you explain that? I don't know God. I know God. Special revelation. God manifests himself. He reveals himself. In the twinkling of an eye, you know him. It's like Lazarus. We're dead. Like Lazarus. In the tomb. Dead. Stone cold dead. How does he get alive? How does he become alive? What does Jesus do? With a loud voice, with the voice, with the word of Jesus, with the word of God, he calls out Lazarus to come forth. And Lazarus heard the voice, heard the word, opened his eyes, stepped out of the tomb. God had spoken to Lazarus. He's the same way he does that to us. We're dead. He calls us, we're alive. He breathed out his word, "Let there be light," and there was light. I mean, how did I become alive to God? He called out my name, "Robert, come forth." I don't know how he does that. I don't know. But I do know this, I was dead and then I was alive. Something happened, and that's called special revelation. God manifested himself to me by his word. And I became alive to God. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's a divine activity. It's a gift, though. You know, we should never take this for granted, man. This is one of the precious gifts of God that he has given to us. We know him as our Father. It's by verbal communication. It's the gospel. It's the word of God. He said, this is the act of special revelation. He gives us this gift. And we can never know God unless he reveals himself to us. And he does this by his word. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 21. Someone read that for us. First Samuel 3:21. So how did the Lord reveal himself to Samuel? What's the verse say? He revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by what? By the word of the Lord. He makes himself known by his word. By the word of the Lord, he reveals himself. He appears and uncovers himself, makes himself known by the word of the Lord. the veil that lies over our hearts. We were dead. We were in darkness. Something happened. What happened? We heard the gospel. The Lord revealed himself through the gospel, through the word of the Lord. God spoke to me, right? Spoke to you. You heard his voice. You rose up from the dead and you followed him. I mean, how else do you explain that your reaction to the gospel? You can hear it a million times, over and over and over again, and then one day you hear it, and it's like you really hear it. Amen. God speaks to you, and you respond. This is special revelation. God revealing himself in such a way that we can know him by his word. We can know the God who is there by his word, and we see something, right? The Lord appeared again at Shiloh because he reveals himself. We can see something about God. We can see the glory of Christ, and you never forget that. You want to live for that. You want to live for his glory. You've seen something when he saved you that made you respond with a changed life. Something happened. And now you're no longer the same, and you only want to live for the glory of Christ. And you come to know God as your Father. And all this is done by the word of the Lord. Special revelation. In order to know him, who is majestic, eternal, all-powerful, worthy of worship, which creation shows us, he must reveal himself to us. Otherwise, he'll always be the unknown God. So creation reveals that there is a glorious God, but by his word, we come to know him. We come to know the God of glory. Now turn to Galatians chapter 4.
Hey, Robert.
Yes.
Just thinking about that. So, it's amazing. It's a miracle.
It is a miracle. And this is like where election comes in, right? Because he doesn't speak to everybody. It's his power comes in. Resurrection power. And you see that in creation. What put creation into play was the all power, the omnipotence of God. And it's the same power that raises you from the dead.
Amen.
And it's his word. Right? And because he said, let there be. It's his word, and that word is so powerful that it created matter and stars and planets, all by the word. And it's by the word that we rise from the dead. His word. But look at Galatians 4. To whom does God reveal himself? Right? What condition does his revelation find us? By the way, we never find him. He finds us. We who call upon the name of the Lord were first called by the Lord. So what condition? Look at verse 8 of Galatians 4. What two things does this verse say about us? We were enslaved. We were ignorant of God, but we were not ignorant of sin. We were enslaved to sin, ignorant of God. But then special revelation happens. Look at verse 9. What happens in verse 9? What does it say? But now what? Now you've come to know God. I didn't know God. I was enslaved to sin, but special revelation shows up, and now I can say, I've come to know God. I've come to know him. Or rather, be known by him. He knew me before I knew him. See, special revelation is personal. We didn't know God. We knew he existed. But now we've come to know God. What happened? Special revelation happened. Turn to 1 Samuel. We'll go back to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Look at verse 7. What's it say about Samuel? First Samuel 3:7. He did not know the Lord. He did not know God. What happens in verse 21? What happens to Samuel in verse 21? The Lord revealed himself. How? By the word of the Lord. Here's Samuel. Did not know God, but now he knows God. Why? The Lord revealed himself to Samuel by the word of the Lord. The Lord revealed himself to you by the word of the Lord. That's special revelation. God revealing himself. I heard the word of God. He revealed himself to me. Every Christian can say that. He revealed himself to me by the word of the Lord. That's why the Bible is so precious to Christians. It's not just a book. This is salvation. Amen. Special revelation was and is always necessary, even from the very beginning. Adam and Eve needed special revelation. Turn to Genesis. They needed the word of the Lord over and above general revelation to know God. Notice Genesis chapter 1. How did creation come about? Say verse 3. Huh? God created. How did he create? He spoke. He said, let there be light. There was light. And it goes on through the whole creation account. God speaks and something comes into existence. I mean, verse 3, 6, 9, 11, 14, 20, 24, 26, God said, let there be and there was. He speaks creation into existence. Notice verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void. And what? Darkness. And into the darkness, right? The darkness. It was dark. And look what God does in the darkness. What does he do? He what? He speaks into the darkness and commands light to shine in the darkness. And there was light. Reminds me of my soul. Because you see, I'm a new creation. How did I come in to be? God spoke, let there be light in Kaufman's darkness. And there was light. But notice in verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. Then if you go over to chapter 2, verse 7, how did God form man? How did he make man? Out of what? Dust. Dirt. From the ground. So here comes man, right? He comes up and he's innocent. He hasn't sinned. He's innocent. He's alive. Creation is before him. Creation is before him. He has no knowledge of God. He doesn't even have a past. He has nothing in his head. Right? It's all like ready to be filled with information, but it's like a hard drive that's never been used. But I mean, he's just alive, and creation is before him. He's got no past. He doesn't even know how he got there. He just is. No memory. And he has the creation before him. If God had allowed him time on his own, he would have eventually come to the conclusion that there had to be a creator. Somebody had to make all this. And he would be eternal, worthy of worship. I mean, he would have arrived at that conclusion, because that's what natural revelation reveals. That he would know that there is a glorious God who created. It would be evident to him. But he would never know him unless God spoke to him. And he does in chapter 1, verse 28. It says, God blessed them. How do you think God blessed them? By telling them to be fruitful? No. God blessed them and said to them. I suggest that it's the word of God. That's the blessing in the life of Adam and Eve, just like it is with you. God spoke, and you knew there was a God. You became familiar with this God. You began to know this God. He blessed them and spoke to them, and they knew there was a creator. I mean, imagine if God never spoke to them. They would never know. He reveals himself always by his word. He unveils himself by his word. He appears to them by his word. Notice in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, he appears to them by his word. Do you see that in chapter 3, verse 8? They heard what? Now, this, of course, chapter 3 is, you know, this, they're in sin, they're hiding, but what? This is something that occurs every day in their lives. They heard what? They heard what? And how did they hear that? The word, right? They heard the sound. The sound, which is a Hebrew word that can mean word, they heard the word of the Lord God walking in the garden. He always reveals himself by his word. Adam and Eve began to discover their God. He brought them into the garden. He gave them this beautiful garden to live in. They begin to know him as a kind, gracious, loving, merciful, beautiful Father God. And every day they would meet for fellowship. And it was always around the word. They heard the word of the Lord God walking in the garden, and they would speak to each other. They would meet with God for fellowship. You see, the purpose of special revelation is fellowship. God wants, J.I. Packer said, God reveals himself so that he might be our friend. He wants to be a friend. The purpose of special revelation is for fellowship. God calls us into fellowship. He spoke to Adam and Eve. They heard his voice. They entered into fellowship with God. In the cool of the day, the Lord God met Adam and Eve to fellowship around his word. He would speak to them. They would speak to him. God's speech to man is real speech. It's very much like one person talking to another person. It's different, but it's the same. It's a personal communication from God to us. Lloyd Jones said that. There's no question who it is that's talking. He often spoke to people this way. He spoke to Adam and Eve. He spoke to Noah. He spoke to Moses, to Joshua. Look over in Genesis chapter 12. Look over in the story of Abraham. What made, you know, what, here's Abraham minding his own business. Right? He's worshiping the moon. He's a moon worshiper. Stone cold, just dead to God. And what happens in verse 1? Genesis 12, verse 1. Who appears? The Lord spoke to Abraham, told him to leave his country, his kindred, his father's house, to a land that he will show him. And he makes these promises. And notice verse 4. What did Abraham do? He obeyed as the Lord had told him. See, there's always a response to special revelation. It's one of obedience. But he heard the voice. The Lord came to Abraham and spoke to him, told him what to do, and he did it. I'm only approaching you because I can't hear you well.
Sure.
I'm not going to rob you now.
Would you mind giving clarification on what you mean the difference? Is it only special revelation when we receive it?
Well, then we know the scriptures are God-breathed, right? So what's your relationship with the scriptures? Because I'll tell you, everyone who teaches the Word of God spends a lot of time studying the Word of God, and they all hear from God. When you teach, is it your teaching? No. It's God. And when you study, do you not sense the presence of God? Is it just empty words? No, it's not. It's the breath of God. It's the Word of God. Every letter, everything in that Bible you have is God's Word to you, special revelation to you. And if you're never in it, you'll never see it. You'll never hear it. It's there. That's the Word of God.
If an unbeliever has the scripture,
it's the Word of God. It's special revelation that he can't see, that he can't hear.
So my question is, what's the distinction between special revelation, or is it only special revelation?
Oh, it's always special revelation. Why? Because the Bible, the words are God-breathed. That's special revelation. Now, do you hear it? Well, if God speaks to you, and if the Bible is the Word of God, right, which it is, right, it's God breathed, then I should be able to hear Him speak.
I just wanted to check
Yeah, you're getting me all confused now.
Just
it's a very simple thing. No, but you're right, man. It is the Word of God, whether it is the special revelation, whether you actually experience it or read it, right?
Yes.
It's always that. But the thing is, don't you want to hear it, man? Don't you want to see it? There's something to be seen. There's something to really be heard in this. It's something that's going to change your life, right? That's what it's for. He reveals himself by his word. Right.
God's word was true.
It's amazing how everyone who becomes a Christian somehow knows the Bible to be the Word of God. That's right. He has to speak to you. He has to reveal himself. He has to call you. And once you hear that voice, you always want to hear that voice. I want to commune with God. I want to meet with God. And when I don't do that, I feel empty inside. There's something missing inside of my heart. And I'll go through the day and, and I'll ask my wife to pray for me. I need fellowship with God. You again. Right. I think the same thing with creation in a way that they suppress the truth. You know, they worship and serve the creation rather than the creator. God gives them their revelations. He speaks to all men, right? The gospel is to all people. Men don't want to hear it. They're dead. They want nothing to do with it. That's why it takes God to come and reveal himself. Because we'll never come. So thank God for election. And the Bible is the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God, whether you believe it to be or not. And it's God's special revelation to mankind. Listen, Hebrews chapter 1. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Look, it says, long ago, at many times, verse 1, in many ways God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. He speaks. He communicates. And for a long time, God has been communicating from the very beginning of time by means of his word. His breathed out word. By the way, we'll be looking at that next week. Inspiration. God has spoken and he reveals himself through his word. For a long time, God has been speaking to man at many times, in many ways. What would it be like if God never spoke? What if he never spoke? What would the world look like?
Darkness. Chaos.
What?
Total chaos.
Chaos. What else? What?
Fools.
I mean, does that sound familiar? Doesn't it sound like the world we live in? I mean, look who's running the nation. I mean, the country, the state. There are fools everywhere. The world is filled with what? Darkness. Chaos reigns. The barbarians are at the gates. I mean, men have exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They worship and serve the creation. They worship the gods of their own imagination. And what do we have? We've got violence and bloodshed, darkness, anger, hatred. The world's in turmoil. I was just reading today that Twitter lies posted on Twitter go further and reach more people than truth. We'd rather believe a lie. They did some study, and MIT did some study on the difference between lies and truth on Twitter. And Twitter won big time over the truth. We don't want to hear the truth. As mankind does not want to hear the truth, we'd rather believe the lie. The world rejects the word of God, the word of the Lord. I mean, just share the gospel with someone. But what would we be like if God never spoke to us? What would be missing in our lives if God never spoke to us? What would be missing? What would we be missing? We'd still be in our what? Sins. We'd still be in our sins. We would have no what? No what? What? No peace, no hope, no love, no Savior. We have no Savior. God never spoke to us. We'd only have this one thing, death coming our way. And we would be afraid. There'd be no Lamb of God. There'd be no promises of God. There'd be no communion with God. If God never spoke to us. But because God has revealed himself to us, we have what? Love instead of hatred. We have light instead of darkness. Our sins forgiven. We have a Savior. We possess the precious promises. We have fellowship. Can't we say, praise God, he spoke? Can't we say, thank God he's revealed himself to me? He's a revealing God. He reveals himself. And for some reason, when God reveals himself and speaks to us, we are totally convinced it's God that's speaking. I mean, when I met Jesus Christ, I knew I wasn't meeting Buddha. And no one shared with me about Jesus Christ. I just met Jesus Christ, and I knew it was Jesus Christ. He spoke to our fathers. They knew him. He's been speaking a long time. Thank God for his revelation. I mean, when was the last time we just simply, without any big to-do, big fancy words, just said, thank you for your word. Thank you for giving me your word. Because I can get into the word every day and hear God speak to me. Because it's the word of God. Why would I want to ignore that? Why? Once you taste that the Lord is good, why wouldn't I want to meet with the Lord every day and speak with him and he with me? You know, whenever the Lord speaks, prayer always follows. It's amazing. I sit with the Bible, I sit and study the scriptures, and God speaks to me, and you know what happens to me? I have to close my eyes and just say, thank you. I mean, I'm like David, beholding the galaxies and the universe, and he looks and sees it all, and then he says, who am I? Who am I that you would be mindful of me? Who am I that you would care for me? I mean, when God visits with you, you go, who am I that you would bless me so? He reveals himself. by his word. Thank God for his word. And it's a simple prayer that just simply says, thank you for your word. Special revelation, by the way, is not one-time thing. It's ongoing. It's one of the gifts of God. He's constantly wanting to reveal himself to us from glory to glory. It's like John on the Isle of Patmos in a barren place. And sometimes most of the time, my heart is like a barren place. If I've been away from God too long, my heart is just barren, full of darkness. The darkness begins to creep in once the light of the gospel is ignored. Once I'm not in the Word over a period of time, you know what's going to creep in is going to be darkness. There's John on the Isle of Patmos, a barren place. And it says all of a sudden a door opened for him. And he went in. A door opened. He went in, and you know what he saw? He saw the King of Kings sitting on the throne. And that made the aisle bearable. He saw God reigning. The Bible's like that door. You will never enter into the presence of God without the Word of God. The Word of God is a doorway to God. All Scripture is breathed out by God. The Bible is the written Word of God. When was the last time you met God through His Word? It's not just academics. Not just so you can know 1 and 1 equals 2. The Bible's written so that we might have fellowship with God, that we might know God, that we might know the will of God. It's God's special revelation. He reveals himself by his word. When was the last time we heard him speak to us? Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll finish up. Look at verse 19. It says here that we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you would do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. So what is the word of God likened to in this passage? A lamp, a light. A light shining in a dark place. We live in a dark place. We live in a dark world. Our hearts are full of darkness. But the Word of God is a lamp that shines in the dark place. Neglect the Word, and darkness will start settling in your hearts. I think every one of us can say that. Neglect the word, and darkness begins to settle in our hearts. We need the light of the word. The word of the Lord is a lamp that shines in the dark place of death. It's a dark place. But the word of the Lord shines in that dark place. Believers can die knowing that they're going to a better place. People that are around the deathbed can know he's saved. He's safe. We'll see him again. The word of God is a comfort to those that are in pain and suffering. The word of God mends the broken heart. When depression sets in, the word of God is a lamp that begins to shine in the darkness of depression. We would do well to pay attention to the word until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our heart. You know, the word pay attention is a nautical term. It's a Navy term that means to hold the ship in the direction that it's going. Keep on course. Pay attention to the word. Do you have a meeting place with God? Adam and Eve did. Do you have a meeting place with God? Do you meet with God through his word? Do you meet with him? Does he come and there's no one there? James tells us to look intently at the law of liberty. Jesus says, "Abide, if my word abides in you, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Are you abiding in the word? Am I abiding in the word? Are we abiding in the word? The Bible is God's special revelation. Follow the word, walk in the word, eat the word, drink the word, absorb the word, let the word of Christ richly indwell you. Because the Lord reveals himself in his word. Get in the word. Get in the word. Take up, read the word. Study the word. Let it be your food. Man does not eat by bread alone, but by every word of the living God. Next week we'll be looking at inspiration, how we got the word of God. Let's give thanks. Someone give thanks. Someone just thank the Lord for his word. Thank him for his special revelation. Father, we do thank you for your word. And how wonderful it is to behold your glory through your word. We get to see your dear son. Your word reveals the glory of your son. And how majestic he is, how wonderful he is, how beautiful he is. What a great savior he is. And when I see him, I come to know you as a wonderful father, kind and gracious. And your word, it just brings a flow of worship, comes from within, out of a grateful heart. We do thank you this day and pray that you receive our worship, for you are worthy to be praised. Thank you for your wonderful gift of the scriptures in your precious name. Amen.